Thank you, Carmen. We've been discussing over the last few weeks a closer walk with God and just a little way of recouping some things that we've talked about. We began by talking about the question, are you a disciple of Christ? And hopefully you have decided that within yourself you are a disciple of Christ, one who follows the Master to the best of your ability, in line with, as Carmen has just talked to us about, the words of God. We talked the next week about the blessings and responsibilities of being a Christian. Along with the blessings come certain responsibilities that we need to take and must take note of. Talked about our public assemblies and our responsibilities to attend the public assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of the disciple of Christ. And then we talked about principles and the practice of prayer for the last couple of weeks, and I hope you're putting some of those principles and application into your prayer life that we talked about. And if you didn't take notes, we have CDs, and you can have a copy of my notes if you'd like to have them, that will remind you of those principles that we need to put into practice in our prayer life, every one of us. With the introduction of the passage that Carmen read, obviously we're going to talk about the Word of God this morning, but there is a duty that befalls every child of God in gaining a closer walk with God, and that one more duty is called study. If you're not in a habit of studying God's Word, I'm not talking about just reading God's Word, studying God's Word. If you're not in the habit of studying God's Word on a somewhat regular basis, please develop that habit. It will only bring you closer to God. It will bring you more in line with His Scriptures, and you'll know more about His will for you in your life. That's a good deal all the way around. So this morning's lesson is going to encourage us about Bible study, the importance of it, maybe give you some ideas about your own personal Bible study and some things you can assist your study with. First of all, why it's important. That might sound like an elementary question, but why is Bible study important? I mean, you come and you listen to me or Joe or somebody else preach and teach on Sundays and on Wednesdays, and maybe you hear a television preacher during the week or on some other time, and well, you gain a lot of God's Word from those folks. Why is it so important that I study on my own? I will tell you that the reason is that the Scripture is an individual thing. Now, you know that the New Testament letters, most of them were written to congregations of the Lord's church in Corinth, in Rome, and in Ephesus, and other places. But as we study God's Word, it becomes individual in its meaning to us. And I'll give you a highlighter of a reason I say that. On Thursday nights, a number of us gather next door, and we have a reading group. And you're all welcome to join the reading group, and we encourage that. We have a common meal together, and it'd be something simple, and then we'll sit and just read around the table. Each one takes turn, reads a chapter of whatever book we happen to be in. The interesting thing about that is we all, of course, read out of whatever translation we happen to prefer and whatever translation we use, be it King James, be it the Amplified Bible, be it New King James, American Standard, whichever one. The interesting thing is, of course, you know, they all are worded just a little bit differently. And almost every Thursday, someone will say, well, my translation says this in that place. Well, mine says this. And someone else will say, I didn't get that when I read it out of my translation. Every time you read, have you ever read a passage of Scripture and you said, oh, that's what that means? You didn't get it the last time you read it? Or when you read it this time, you pick up something new from the last time you didn't get before? That's because as an individual, you're growing the more you read those passages, the more you study the Bible, not just read, but really, what does that verse say? Let's go to a passage. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I'll show you what I mean talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there with me, if you will, just to point out a couple of things of why this is so important. Individual personal study. While you're turning there, I'll say too that in John 17:17, Jesus would say, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God has the ability to sanctify us. The word sanctify just simply means to set apart. If you're studying the word and if you're following what you're learning, you're being sanctified, or you're sanctifying yourself through the word or by way of the word from the world. You're setting yourself apart from the world. That's what we're called to do as Christians. We can't be of the world and of the church and of the body of Christ at the same time. It doesn't work that way. That's an oxymoron religiously, spiritually. But look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Some of your translations, well, the first word there will be study. Some of the others, like the New King James, says be diligent. So it's study or be diligent to present yourselves approved to God. That's the reason for study, so that you have the ability or the way, means of presenting yourself approved to God. If you never had a Bible verse in your mind at all, you could never be approved of God. You see that? And the more Bible verses you have in your mind, in your memory, in your makeup, the more approved you're apt to be to God. So he says, study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker. So that word worker tells us that being approved of God is about doing. It's about something that you need to be about, not just sitting and reading and studying, but making application of what you learn. Be diligent or study to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. How many people in today's Christian climate, the religious climate, will stand ashamed because they never put time of study into God's word? They, like I said a minute ago, they take the preacher's word for it, they take the television evangelist's word for it, they take the Bible teacher's word for everything they know, without understanding, as the Bereans of Acts 17, they went to the scriptures to find out if what they were being told was true or not. And if we're not doing that, how many times have I encouraged you, you follow up what I tell you on Sunday or on Wednesday night and make sure that it's right, it's true. And if you ever catch me that I've told something that's not true, you point it out to me, because I need to make amends and repent of that. It's important that we follow up and understand that what's being taught to us is true, with, alongside of, in parallel to God's word. That's only in any other endeavor in our life, you would do the same thing. If someone was going to tell you how to make a generator, power generator, and they gave you directions, and you were beginning to put this thing together, and you realized that, well, this is not working. There's something about this that's not quite right. What would you do? Just throw it away or keep on building? I hope you would seek out the right way to do that. How many of you have ever put something together that you bought at Walmart? There is a conspiracy. They always put too many parts in that box just to make you upset at the end. But we put those things together. How many of you do it without reading the directions? Come on. How many of you do it without reading directions? Guilty as charged. Is it true, or is it just my experience, that every time you do it without reading the directions, it doesn't work just right? You have parts left over, you have not enough parts, or it looks funny, or it sits sideways, or it shakes. That's because we didn't follow the directions. The guys that write those directions write them for a purpose. Kind of like this thing. They wrote for a purpose that wrote this book. It's directional. It's individual directional. What I get out of it today when I read might not be the same thing you get out of it today, because we're at different levels of our understanding and our study. That's why it's important that we all study. Hopefully we'll all be at some point on the same level of study and understanding, but that chances of that are slim to none. 2 Timothy, back there, chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent or study to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not putting Daniel with Matthew with Revelation to make a teaching or to validate a teaching you think you already know. Not putting this scripture with another scripture to make it say something that it really doesn't say. But dividing the scriptures in the right context, in the right paragraph, who's doing the speaking, who are they speaking to, what's the occasion, all those things about that verse. How many of you know all those things about this verse in 2 Timothy? You may not. Who's talking? The Apostle Paul. Who's he talking to? Timothy. Why? Timothy's a young preacher who needs encouragement. He's telling him to be a worker who's not need to be ashamed, who's approved of God. That's the general outline context. There's a deeper context if you read the entire second chapter. You see what I'm saying? So it takes study, not just gently perusing or reading the top layer of the understanding of it. There's a passage in Romans chapter 8, another example. Romans chapter 5 at verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's an important verse. And we understand what it means, that even while we were pitifully unworthy of the sacrifice of the Son of God, he did that anyway, so that we would have an ability to have redemption, forgiveness, salvation, etc. I want you to read that verse, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, and in the place where it says us, I want you to put your name there. And where it says we were, I want you to put I was. So it says, "But God demonstrates his love toward me," your name, "that while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me." You see, that's just one example of how individual the scriptures really are. What does it mean to you? I can tell you what it means to me, and I do every Sunday morning. You can take that for what it's worth, or you can dig a little deeper. What does it mean to you? It's always about what God says. What I get out of the scripture, again, might not be exactly the same thing you get, but what God's truth is what it is. When we come together is when we're both on the same level and we're understanding the truth as it really is, not in different contexts or not different truths of the same scripture. That only comes when we study to show ourselves approved. Now, how do you study? What way is best for you to study? I can't answer that. I give you some hints and some opportunity that you might put into application in your own study. One of them will be a planned lesson study. Somebody works up a lesson on the book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Revelation, whatever book it may be, or a particular study of just a topic, baptism, whatever. Someone does the work and does the study, and it presents that study to a group of folks who are gathered to study that particular thing. That's one way. That's the most common way. And if you're not coming on Sunday morning to Bible study or Wednesday night to Bible study and you're able to do that, we probably should talk. The question comes, why? If you're able and you're not, why not? Is it that you know everything about that subject? You and I both know the answer to that one. We don't all know the answers to all the subjects. That's why we get together and that's why we study. I'm trying to encourage you to be here on Sundays and Wednesday nights for the study as we gather and learn more of God's word and his will in our lives. Subject method. Like a minute ago I mentioned, you can study a subject of baptism or of salvation or a broad topic subject, the cross, the life and teachings of Jesus. You can pick out a subject and study it that way. It's good. It's a good way to study. You do the book method, 2 Timothy. Let's study on 2 Timothy. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life and the work of the Apostle Paul for well over a year, and we're down to 1 Timothy, finishing up 1 Timothy. We've gone through all his other letters except for the book of Romans, and we're making our way to the book of Romans, trying to study them in a semblance of when they were written, time-wise. It's been a good study. I've learned a lot through that study. I hope that everyone who has attended has also. Teacher seems to always learn more than the pupils anyway. They used to tell me that, and I thought, no way. But it's true. Huh, teacher? You could do a study on a regular time period. In other words, you could get together with your family or in your home or on Saturday afternoon or whatever time you have available, and that particular time every day. Maybe at 8 o'clock before you go to bed, or instead of, you know, turn the TV off. We're guilty at our house of not turning the TV off enough. My dear mother-in-law pointed that out to me one day. Every time I come in here, your television's on, and you're telling us to turn the TV off. She's turning red. Guilty. We don't think about those things, and we don't either. It's just on. You might not be grasping and soaking up everything that it's saying, but it's just on. It's occupying the sound waves in your house. Therefore, you don't have the ability to sit down and study because of this racket going on. Turn it off. Sit down and study, and make it a regular study daily, every other day, but on a regular basis. And pray as you study. Pray for God's guidance through the scriptures that he will help you to understand more than what you've understood before this study period, that type of thing. That he'll open up the truths of his word to your understanding. What could be a better prayer than that as you study his word? And use some things that will help you. Use commentaries. I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt about commentaries. Some like them, some don't. I use them a lot. I use a variety of commentaries. I want to know what those other guys studied and got out of that scripture. I don't believe 100% of what I read there because they're not inspired. Remember that. Commentators are not inspired of God to write what they wrote. They're studious. They've put a lot of work and diligent effort into studying those things, but they're not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So what they say is their studied opinions, their knowledge put on pen and paper. So keep that in mind, but use them. Use different translations. Like I said, on Thursday night, it's a joy and it's a neat thing to hear different translations read. While someone's reading the King James, I'm looking at my New King James and New American Standard and watching the word differences because they're all a little different. The one that gets us is Ramona's. I don't know where it came from, but she found it at a garage sale one day. It did. And it's like a simplified or amplified version. And it's in our current today's language, but it's way different. And sometimes we have a hard time keeping up with her when she's reading and we're trying, where's she at now? Because it doesn't look the same in Scripture. But it's also good to have that too because that's somebody's plain old English, today's language cut on how the Scriptures are written and what they say. Hers may be this long and Jesus wept, but hers says this, right? But it's good to have the different translations. I would suggest to you the King James, New King James, American Standard, New American Standard, English Standard, those five or six versions in combination will be good, any of the combination of those. And again, don't put stock in a lot of translations, especially if they're like the Living Bible was done by one fellow. That's his translation. That's his take on the Scripture. Well, you know, use it, but don't put a lot of stock in it because that's just one guy. Your better versions, better translations, just so you'll know, are the ones where a group of people from a variety of backgrounds, those who studied the languages, the original language, those who studied history, those who studied geology, all those guys come together. They know what they're talking about in their field, but they come together and they do Bible study and they translate the scriptures. King James was translated to the New King James as an updated version of a better English version. So you've got those kind of things. But use the different translations that are available to you. Dictionaries, if you don't know what a word means, how do you understand that word? You know, especially with the King James, I what not? Huh? How many of you know I what not means? Fanny does. She grew up with the King James. I wot not means I don't know. But if you don't know that, if you wot not that, that even sounds funny. But if you don't know what they mean, you got to look them up so that you have the right understanding. You'd do that if it was a direction for anything else. Just common sense. A concordance is good to have. It's alphabetical order of the words that you're found in the New Testament, Old Testament. Alphabetical order, you can even get a concordance that lists, if you're going to study on baptism, it'll list the word baptism and it'll give every scripture that the word baptism can be found in scripture. What a wonderful help that is, especially if you're doing a topical study on baptism or on salvation or on whatever it may be. Use those things, they'll help. Because as Joe pointed out in Bible class this morning, if you take one verse on baptism, he wasn't talking about baptism, but the point he made was this. If you take one verse on baptism, Mark 16, 15 and 16, go and preach the gospel to all creatures. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Okay, you got belief and baptism. We understand that concept, is that all that there is to salvation? No. You got to go and find the other scriptures that have to do with baptism or salvation or forgiveness of sins to put the whole thing together. It's the same thing as if, remember when Jesus was in the garden and Peter cut the guy's ear off? You can't find that whole account and event in one gospel account. You got to go to Matthew and Mark and Luke and John to find out who did the cutting, who he cut, which ear it was, the fact that Christ put it back on, that's a good one. That's important. So the whole picture is found in a combination of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Without all the above, you can't get the complete story. How many people do that today with baptism, faith, grace, salvation? You ever heard just pray the sinner's prayer and you're saved? Where does that come from? That's just one little idiosyncrasy I've got. There is no such thing as a sinner's prayer. I don't know where it came from. But in any event, you got to put that together. A concordance will help you in all that. An encyclopedia will help you in all that. It talks about people, places, events, things that took place back in Bible times. Encyclopedias we use for other things in our life. Let's use one when we study God's Word to get a grasp on the time in which this thing took place, the time in which it was written, what was going on in the church of Corinth when the Corinthian letters were written, and so forth. Y'all have found out a whole lot on Wednesday night about what the reason for those letters that Paul wrote back to Corinth and Ephesus and Colossae and all that. There was a thing called Gnosticism. How many of you know that not have been here on Wednesday night what Gnosticism is? If you don't know that, how can you understand why Paul wrote what he wrote? Well, because it says what it says. Yeah, but why? If you don't know the why, you've left out an important point. Because not everything that was said to those folks back then is applicable to us folks today. Generally, yes, but not exactly. We don't deal with a whole lot of Gnosticism infiltrating the church today, but they did. Big difference. Commentaries, like I said a minute ago, all these things. How many of you have ever read the book, How We Got the Bible? Nobody? How many of you know how we got the Bible? Nobody? Is that important? Is it important enough for you to find out where this book came from? Well, it's the Word of God. Yeah, but that's an easy answer. We know it's the Word of God. We know that 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 through 17 talk to us about this as God breathed. We understand that. But how did it get to be in the condition it's in today? Because I've used it a long time. No, that's not the answer. How did we get the books that we have today? Because our Bible is different from the Catholic Bible, the Douay Bible, and other Bibles. There are books that were written back then that we don't have in this Bible. Why is that? If you don't know those things, how much are you missing? And I'm not saying I know all those things. I know some of them. But if we don't know how we got the Bible, isn't that important? If you're not sure about that, get the book. If you can't find it, I'll get it for you. How we got the Bible. You may be surprised on where that thing came from and why it's in the condition it's in, why it has what is in it today. These are just encouragements. I'm not dogging you. I'm not trying to be flippant or anything else. But the funny thing is that we go through life thinking we know what God's Word says. It's the thing that's going to judge us in the last day. Am I right? Yeah. Jesus said the word I spoke is going to judge you in the last day. There's one that will judge him in the last day, the word I have spoken, the word of God. Our lives, if are not lived by this guideline, will be in about the same shape as putting together that thing from Walmart if we didn't read directions. Be a little shaky come judgment. Study to show thyself approved. Let's go back and read the passage that Carmen read just for a second. Let's read it together in Psalms as we close the lesson this morning. Psalm 19. How profound these words really are. And your translation may read a little different from my translation. Expect that if you're not using the New King James. But it very simply says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That means it is totally complete, without flaw, spotless, etc. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. If your soul has not been converted, then you've not been converted according to the law of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It is without fail. You can take it to the bank, in other words, making wise the simple. As long as we're not 100% knowledgeable of everything in the Word of God, then we're still on the simple side of understanding. But it makes us wiser the more we use it, the more we study it. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, you just get that right, good feeling when you do something that you know is good and right, as opposed to doing something you know is questionable and bad. It enlightens the heart, it rejoices the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It's good to read. The fear of the Lord. If your translation says in verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, you're looking at fear, meaning the reverent worship of God, is pure. That's the idea. If we're worshiping as we should, as God wants us to worship, then that's pure worship. Remember Jesus saying, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth? That's that pure worship, holding God in the awesome respect and fear that he's due. The judgments of the Lord, second half of verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. When God says it's this way, it's this way. He says it's not that way, it's not that way. It doesn't matter what we think, what we'd rather it be, what we want it to be. It's about what God says. His words, his judgments are right. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold. How many people are knocking themselves out in this life to gain all the gold they can get? Stuff. We put so much value and so much faith and so much trust in stuff. It's like all these folks, and I'm not against guns, don't get me wrong, but what I'm about to say, all these folks buying guns and ammunition and stocking up on all the guns they can get. When the Lord comes back, throw them away. It won't matter. You might as well not even have them. If the Lord wills that you be taken away from this life in whatever manner he deems is right and proper for the sake of things, you can't fix that. You won't stop it. You don't control it. The judgments of the Lord are right. Now, I'm not knocking guns. Have some. Love shooting them. I think they're well to be had to protect ourselves because, you know, God knows when it's my time, but that stupid criminal probably doesn't. I don't want him interfering. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. The word of God, the dictates of God, the commandments and statutes ought to be sweet to us. They ought to be so sweet we can't get enough of them. Sweeter than the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, here's the clincher to this set of verses. Moreover, by them there is the law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear, the judgments. By those things, your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. How do you know what to keep? How do you know what the warnings are if you don't study? That's why it's all important. If we're not doing it, we're falling down on our Christian duty, because part of our duty is to know God's will for us in our lives and to follow that will as best we can. It's like going to trying to go to Houston without turning south. You can't get there from here. You've got to follow the directions. Those aids will only help you. Don't know what else to say on that. Might as well just be through with the lesson on that note. But study. Develop some study habits. Develop some study time on a regular basis. It will serve you well. You'll be more knowledgeable in the end result and better equipped to walk closer to God. The song that's been chosen has the message, only a step. It's only a step away from death, from life. It's only a step away from salvation, from sin. Only a step between you and the Lord. That's the only thing that keeps you from him. If you're not a Christian this morning, that one step, that's the ticket. Got to make it. If you don't ever make it, you don't ever get to the Lord. It's only a step away. If you need to make that step this morning, Christian, non-Christian alike, if there's a Christian in the audience this morning, if you have an issue you need some assistance with, life problem you need help with, all we can do is pray with you, study with you, and do our best to do what it is that you need done. And ask God for his assistance and guidance. And non-Christian, if you're not yet a child of God, and just because you were born in this country and you're a good person does not make you a child of God, You find that in this book. You find out how to be a child of God through His will. If you're not sure about that, then let us study with you and at least give you the information, and then you do with it what you want. Only a step. If you need to make it for whatever reason this morning, why don't you do that while we stand together and while we sing.